Good morning. Today's scripture reading is found in Daniel chapter 5, and we'll be reading the entire chapter. Daniel 5. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. The king called out for the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought, and said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. "O king, live forever," she said. "Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. This man, Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read the writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. O king, the Most High God gave your father, Nebuchadnezzar, sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines drank from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written: Mene, mene, tekel, parsin. This is what these words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, a gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for the opportunity and the freedom that we have to come here to worship you, Lord, to have fellowship, but most of all, Lord, to hear from you, Lord. And we thank you for your word that you've given to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who speaks to us through your word, through your messenger, Lord, and in our hearts. And Lord, this morning as we read the story and as we hear the pastor's message, I pray that we would look into our own hearts and realize that our days are short, Lord, and may we not, when we are weighed, Lord, may we not be found wanting. And I just pray that you would open our spiritual ears this morning, that we would hear what your Holy Spirit wants to teach us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I've been listening to the news and watch television every night to see what else is happening in the world, in the news. And I've seen our Prime Minister and heard him time and again, and his government officials and the media say that Canada is doing well, our economy is very strong. We have also heard other government leaders say that they are strong, powerful enough to deal with anything and anyone, and yet we know what happens when they are faced with disasters or war. They panic. And let us not forget what happened to other strong countries and empires like the Roman, Greek, British, and other empires when pride and power blinded them and corrupted their governments and everyone in those powerful nations. In Daniel 5, we see the tragic events that happened to Babylon and its king Belshazzar. Israel is in captivity in Babylon. Daniel was a teenager in 605 before Christ when he was taken to Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem and began to conquer the conquest of Judah. Daniel remained faithful to God, and because of God's protection, Daniel was elevated to high offices in Babylon. And God used him and blessed him for at least 75 years in that wicked and idolatrous kingdom. In the autumn of 539 before Christ, King Belshazzar made a great feast for, 1,000 of his nobles, his wives, and concubines. He threw a big party. But mighty Babylon is about to be judged. The Medes and Persians were already outside the gates, but Belshazzar was not afraid of them. He was sure that Babylon's defense and army and their supplies were enough to keep the city safe and secure. Let me just give you a better picture of his security. The outer walls of the city were 17 miles long. The walls were 22 feet thick and 90 feet high. The walls that had guard towers 100 feet high were there. The city gates were made of bronze. Inner and outer walls and moats made the city very secure. Belshazzar thought that he was safe. But that very night, he was killed, his city was conquered, and the great party was over. But why? At least three sins are clear in what we read and in the life of this nation. The sin was not ignorance. He knew better. It was disobedience and pride. The second sin was that he defied, actually challenged God by desecrating the sacred vessels. And third, he praised idols rather than honor the living God. And when I looked at these three sins, I could not help but look into our own world, look into our own country, and often we see exactly the same thing happen. It is happening even today. These sins are the beginning of the end of every great nation. Let's look at that tragic event. First, the great banquet, or rather the drunken feast. Belshazzar gave a great banquet, lots of drinking and partying. All his friends are there just having a good time. And I believe today, if you look in the world, you will see the only thing that excites people is excitement itself. The only thing that people are interested, even in the churches today, is how excited they get and how can they get a high, even a spiritual high. Humbling ourselves and letting God speak to us has disappeared almost. All we want to do is have good time. Drinking, drugs, and other things may be outside the church, you may say, but even in the church, these things may be happening, and we don't see the writing on the wall. Second, they are celebrating, but that night, Babylon will fall. And we are continuing our way of life without realizing, without seeing that writing on the wall. But little do we know, or do we realize, and even if we know, we don't care that the end is coming. Who would have thought that Babylon could fall? Babylon was a mighty power. So are there other mighty powers today that claim to be mighty. And yet, the writing is on the wall. A city of splendor and beautiful homes and great defenses. Belshazzar and his friends feel very safe and secure in their sinful partying. But now no one is safe in sin. Sin has a way of blinding people and making them deaf to the voice of God, to the voice of reason. He blinds them so they cannot see the writing on the wall and they cannot see or hear God in their lives. Sin is the greatest threat to liberty and security. We ask for security. We ask for liberty. We want to be free. And yet when we get freed from things that have tied us down for generations, we take that freedom and abuse it and use our freedom against others. And then we forget where we were and where we came from. Even Christians forget where they came from, the simple prison they were imprisoned in the old life. And now in this new freedom, they abuse that freedom without seeing the writing on the wall. An individual or nation or a nation cannot continue or on a course of sin and survive. There have been very powerful nations, almost, but many nations have become very powerful, and they had become empires and kingdoms at one time. England and Rome and others claim to be the rulers of the world, and yet today we look at them and often we have pity for what has happened to them. Now let's look at the dedicated vessels. We looked first at the party. Let's look at the dedicated vessels. Drunkenness led to foolish actions. Alcoholism and drug addiction are great problems we face as individuals and as a nation. When our body, which is created by God to be a dedicated vessel for Him, is abused and misused, then we are in trouble. There are more broken homes. There is more suffering. There are more mothers and fathers crying and weeping for what is happening to their children. There are children who are weeping and don't know where to go and what to do when they look at their parents and destruction, those drugs and whatever else has bound them in life. God created us to be dedicated vessels, and yet we have turned our bodies and our lives into corrupt vessels. Belshazzar was not satisfied with the royal vessels of the place. He wanted to use and desecrate the sacred vessels that were stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. These vessels were set apart for the glory of God. They had been prayed over and dedicated to the Lord. The church should be a dedicated place. A church should be a place where there is only purity and holiness. And yet, many things have been brought into the church, and the churches have been desecrated. And I keep picking on the Christians and the believers because this is what is happening these days, and unless we as believers, as Christians, as churches, look at the writing on the wall and wake up, one day will be too late. Evil and corruption will take over as it is taking over already. Christ set a new course for His followers. And the church, the body of true believers, is to follow. His desire was and still is to see His church bring glory to God. He wants us all who are washed in His blood and saved to become and remain dedicated vessels. He, through the Holy Spirit, brought order in our lives. Or rather, He brings order in the lives of the dedicated vessels. So the question is, how come then this is not happening? It's because the dedicated vessels are not anymore used for dedicated purposes and for the glory of God. We, the dedicated vessels, have allowed corruption to come as the kingdom of that particular country had allowed. His father had gone through the ordeal of rejecting God and being punished for it and became like an animal, and he rejected God. And the Bible says, and when he looked up, he lifted up his eyes and looked at God, and he recognized what he had done. He confessed his sins and he was restored. And yet, we see here Belshazzar being destroyed by God. But now, many things are out of order and control. Our nations are in crisis. Alcoholism, drugs, sexual immorality, crime, march on, taking more and more victims. Violence is a way of life in entertainment and in real life. Violence. You can't watch the news or anything without being faced with some advertisement or some clips of a new movie, a new series of movies with corruption and evil possession and occultic messages. And people enjoy seeing people killed and destroyed and the devil conquering. The writing is on the wall. Very few pay any attention. Violence is a way of life in entertainment, but not only there. People have no time for God these days. They are too busy. You talk to people about God and say, yeah, I believe in God. Yes, I go to church whenever I can, but I have other responsibilities. My priorities actually don't allow me to go to church often. I can't go to Bible study. I can't go to prayer meeting. I can't give time for prayer at home. I cannot speak to my children about things that are spiritual because they already have been, they made up their minds and I will allow them to, or we will allow them to choose. And all kinds of things are happening in our lives and we realize that we already have been brainwashed to believe that there is not much we can do, so we better follow others. Even Christians in churches and outside have no desire for holiness and much time for God. We need a revival to turn from total ruin to judgment. And now let's look at the divine warning. As a matter of fact, when I prepared this message and I gave it a title, the title that was on the wall, Mene Mene, Take Help, Upper Sin. I said, who's going to be interested in a writing on the wall? On Sunday, they're going to think that I had nothing else to do. And yet, I opened the paper 2 days ago, and I came with this. And probably you've seen it. Have you seen this in the Gazette? Anyone seen it? Billboards and TV. I haven't seen those, but I've seen these. Now, the writing is on the wall, but I don't know what it says. Can anyone interpret this? Do you know what they're selling? Huh? Yeah? But you're saying probably because we don't know. It says the end of time is near. Well, thank you. Someone heard the message. Well, I tell you what, the end of the time is near. Okay, billboards and television says that. And do you think people pay any attention? Well, say, what is it? Is it a new perfume? Is it new pizza? Is it new? And all they think is something that, or a new car, or a car that will run on water and we won't need any more gasoline. We don't know what it is, and yet these are there. Well, there was this big writing that said, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Aparsin, Oparsin. But surprisingly enough, the king paid attention. He was scared. The man who thought he was so powerful that no one could shake him was shaking now. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Aparsin or Parsin, that is, Aparsin means and Parsin in Aramaic, and means God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. It's past tense. Has been done. Tekel means you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting has been done. Parsin, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. It has been done already. You don't realize it. But these people are outside. And you have built these things to protect yourself. And yet, nothing can stop God's will. Eminam and Etekel were different weights. Parsin or Peres means to divide. King Belshazzar had been weighed and found wanting. That very night the kingdom would fall and be destroyed. The judgment was final and swift. Belshazzar was slain that night and his kingdom was given to his enemies. Some people may say, well, that was his destination. God had created him to be that way. And I don't know, and I cannot say what God thought of Belshazzar. But I know one thing, that the Bible says God had weighed him. God numbered his days. God watched him. God warned him before, and he knew better. And yet, because he worshipped the gods of gold and silver and pleasure, he was judged. You say, well, I don't worship any gods of gold or silver or pleasure. Are you sure? Would you take one moment in your life at least and see whether you pay more attention to the gold, to the riches, to the silver and pleasure than you pay attention to God and spiritual things? What about the churches? The churches are accused of being big businesses. And very often you look into a church activity or you look at a church organization and a church empire and you realize that yes, it is true that some of these Christian or other religious empires are more powerful than you think they are. And gold and power and pleasure have become their ultimate goal rather than he who wants to follow me must deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. I don't know whether the message of Jesus Christ has anything to do with the messages that are being preached today of prosperity, of blessings. Yes, God will bless and has blessed and will always bless. And yes, you are secure with your salvation. And yet he says, follow me. Belshazzar was given a choice. His father was given a choice. We have been given a choice. The night of feasting and partying became a night of fear. The night of triumph became a night of terror. The night of pride and good life became a night of death for Belshazzar. There is a point at which sin is judged. There is a point at which time, and that time, sin is judged. And I believe that we often take God's patience as meaning he doesn't care or he's sort of allowing us. And because we are human beings and we are really, whatever we are, we feel. And because we go to church and because we lead a prayer meeting and because I'm a pastor and because I'm a priest and because I'm an elder, I can do some things and God will say, oh, I understand. Yes, God understands. That's the problem. There is a point at which sin is judged. The words you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting were so powerful and final. These same words may and will be repeated and directed toward all those who ignore God's warning today. The individual or the church that is found wanting will be judged by Jesus, the one and holy judge. Do we, do you, see the writing on the wall? Are you paying attention? Am I paying any attention? Is our church paying attention that there is a writing on the wall? And unless we clearly understand the message, we may and we will be held responsible. The writing is on the wall for us, for the church, for our nation. We must face our sin and repent. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, who are called by my name, repent and confess their sins and turn from their evil ways, then and only then I will hear their prayers and answer their prayers and forgive their sins and heal their land." How many times should God say that? We must turn back to God while we have time. You and I face Christ, will face Christ, our Lord and Judge. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, we read, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Daniel, who remained a dedicated and pure vessel, was blessed and used by God for His glory. Belshazzar was found wanting and judged by God. The names and dates and the places may be different today, but the message and the consequences are the same. This is not Babylon, although it looks more like Babylon than Babylon itself in those days. This may be called Montreal. This may be not 539 before Christ. And yet the consequences are the same. Ignoring God and His words always lead to terrible consequences. May God help us become and remain dedicated and pure vessels for Him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. Thank You once again for reminding us that You are a holy God and You expect us, the dedicated vessels, to be clean and pure and holy. And when things happen, Lord, and our vessels are soiled, do You expect us to come to You to be purified and clean? May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us this morning. May God help us understand and the message, and not only understand it, but accept Your will and put into practice Your word. I ask these things in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.